بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the 40 Nawawi hadith collection, and we have reached hadith number 24, and this is a hadith Qudsi. Remember, in the previous talk or in the previous discussion, we discussed an issue as to what constitutes the al-hadith al-Qudsi, whether it is word and meaning from Allah, or the meaning is from Allah and the Prophet ﷺ saying. This was discussed last time, and we want also to know here that between the Noble Quran and the Hadith al-Qudsi are many differences. From the differences between al-Hadith al-Qudsi and the Quran is that the Hadith al-Qudsi recital is not worship. Reciting al-Hadith al-Qudsi is not worship. Just mere recitation is not a worship. So therefore, there is no reward for every letter of it by a tenfold reward. However, the Quran's recital is worship. For every letter, there is 10 rewards and good deeds. Secondly, from the difference between the Qudsi Hadith and the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges mankind to bring something similar to the Quran, or even a verse. And there is nothing like this challenge when it comes to the Hadith al-Qudsi. There is nothing of this type of challenge when it comes to al-Hadith al-Qudsi. And from the differences between the Quran and the Hadith al-Qudsi is that the Quran is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He the Most High stated in Surah Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse 9, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily, it is we who have sent down the dhikr, the Quran, and surely we will guard it from corruption. And the ahadith al-Qudsiyya do not fall under this preservation, because there are narrations from it that are authentic and good, but also there are weak and fabricated. Some with omissions, some with additions. So this is another difference between the Qudsi Hadith and the Quran. And from the differences is that it is not permissible to recite the Quran by meaning. It is not permissible to recite the Quran by meaning. And this is by consensus amongst the Muslims. However, with respect to the Qudsi narrations, most of the scholars agree that it is permissible to narrate it by meaning. There is ikhtilaf, but most of the scholars are on the opinion that it is permissible to relate it by meaning. And from the differences between the Quran and the Hadith al-Qudsi is that The Quran is recited in the Salah. And from the Quran, there is the recitation which we know of, which is Surah Al-Fatiha, without which the Salah is not valid. Of course, the Al-Hadith Al-Qudsi situation is not applicable in this sense. So this is another difference between al-Hadith al-Qudsi and the Quran. Also, according to the correct opinion, the Quran is not to be touched except by one who is ritually pure. This does not apply with respect to al-hadith al-Qudsi. Also, the Quran cannot be recited by the one who is sexually in a state of sexual defilement until he or she takes ghusl, according to the preponderating opinion. And this is not the case with respect to al-hadith al-Qudsi. And from the differences as well is that the Quran is a decisive consecutive affirmed narration, is a decisively consecutive affirmed narration which necessitates certain knowledge, such that if anyone denies one letter agreed upon by the Al-Qurra, then the person commits kufr. Wal'ayyadu billah. Contrary to that, is the Hadith al-Qudsi. So, if someone denies anything of the Qudsi Hadith, claiming that it is not affirmed, then then he does not commit kufr. However, if he denies that while knowing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam indeed said it, then he commits kufr because of his belying to the messenger, of him belying the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what about when we discussed earlier, we said that one of the opinions is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam related it to Allah. And that in principle, the added saying is attributed to the person who said it. This is in principle. However, it is possible that one may add the meaning to the one who says something, not the actual wording. As in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala add certain statements to certain people who said it. And we know that this relation or this relating of the statement is by meaning, not by word, as in the stories of the prophets, and the like. قال موسى قال عيسى, the speech of the hoopoe and that of the ant, certainly this is by meaning, relating the meaning with respect to these examples, therefore indicate that it is possible to relate or to add the meaning to the sayer, not the actual wording. And this gives a preponderance to this opinion. Now, if someone says, wouldn't it be better to leave all of this all together, and stick to the saying that the Hadith al-Qudsi is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam relates from his Rabb, then this would be sufficient and it is safer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, lest the person may fall in excessiveness which could be destructive. And if one ponders deeply about the issue of the words of Allah and the speech of Allah, then finds that the real ikhtilaf, the real difference is between the Ash'arites and Ahlus Sunnah, between the Ash'arites and Ahlus Sunnah concerning the speech of Allah. Ahlus Sunnah are on the creed that Kalamullah Ta'ala كلام حقيقي مسموع يتكلم سبحانه بصوت وحرف, that the speech of Allah is real and true, heard. He speaks with voice and letters. The Ash'arites don't affirm that. They say that كلام الله هو المعنى القائم بالنفس. They say that the speech of Allah is the meaning established in the self, and it is without voice or letters. But according to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates voices denoting the meaning established with Himself, and this is a futile. In fact, this is the actual saying of the Mu'tazilites. Because the Mu'tazilites say that the Quran is created and that it is the speech of Allah, while the Ash'arites say the Quran is created but it denotes the speech of Allah. So both are in agreement that what's in between the covers of the Mus'haf, the copies of the Quran, is created, wal'ayadu billah, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. Now we begin the discussion on the actual meaning of the hadith. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ related from Allah that he says, Ya ibadi kullukum, يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما. O my slaves, I have forbidden oppression for myself. يا عبادي, this O my slaves is comprehensive. Those who worship Allah by the general Ubudiyya or the particular Ubudiyya. إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي, I have forbidden oppression for myself. I forbidden it, though I am able to do it. And this is a praise for Allah. If he is able but he doesn't, then he is to be praised subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So if someone asks the question, for example, is Allah able to oppress the creation? The answer is yes. However, we know that this is impossible, because he subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear when he said in Surah Al-Kahf 18:49, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And your Rabb Allah treats no one with injustice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you. So, the fact that it is forbidden, then don't oppress one another. Don't be unjust to one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ. The next statement, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ. All of you are astray, meaning astray from the right path, except for those I have guided. Meaning, I gave him the knowledge and made him successful. So there is here the guidance of direction and the guidance of success. This guidance covers both the hidayah, the guidance of irshad, of directing, and also the hidayah of tawfiq, of giving success. فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ. So seek guidance of me and I shall guide you. Seek guidance from me, not from other than me. This is like the saying of Allah in Surah Ghafir, verse 60, دعوني أستجب لكم. دعوني أستجب لكم. And invoke me, and I shall respond to you, to your invocation. Then the next statement, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ جَائِعٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطْعَمْتُهُ. يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ جَائِعٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطْعَمْتُهُ. All my servants, all my slaves, all of you are hungry, except for those I have fed. So seek food of me and I shall feed you. Everyone is hungry except the one whom Allah has fed. And this covers situations where the person may have no food, or lost his food, or found it but was unable to reach it. And if you contemplate, you come to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought the plants and vegetations, and He is the one who made the udders full with milk, and He is the one who brought life to fruits, to the fruit trees. Read from Surah Al-Waqi'ah. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Waqi'ah 56, from verses 58 to 74. Let's go over them. قال الله تعالى أفرأيتم ما تمنون. أفرأيتم ما تمنون. Surah Al-Waqi'ah 58 to 74. أفرأيتم ما تمنون. أأنتم, then tell me about the human semen that you emit. أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون؟ بل أنت يا ربنا. أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون؟ Then tell me about the human semen that you emit. Is it you who created, make this semen into a perfect human being? Or are we the creator? You are the creator. نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين. We have decreed death to you all and we are not unable. على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون. And we are not unable to transfigure you and create you in forms that you know not. ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون. And indeed you have already known the first form of creation, the creation of Adam. Why then do you not remember to or take heed? أفرأيتم ما تحرثون. Tell me the seed that you sow in the ground. أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون؟ بل أنت يا ربنا. أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون؟ Is it you that make it to grow or are we the grower? Rather, you are the grower. لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون. Where is our will, we could crumble it to dry pieces and you would be regretful or left in wonderment. إنا لمغرمون. Saying we are indeed ruined or lost the money without any profit or punished by the loss of all that we spent for cultivation. بل نحن محرومون. أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون. Nay, but we are deprived. أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون. And tell me the water that you drink, أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون؟ بل أنت يا ربنا. أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون؟ Is it you who caused it from the rain clouds to come down, or are we the causes of it to come down? You are, سبحانك, the cause of it to come down. لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون. If we willed, we verily could make it salt and undrinkable. Why then do you not give thanks to Allah? أفرأيتم النار التي تورون. Tell me the fire which you kindle. أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون؟ Is it you who made the tree thereof to grow, or are we the growers? بل أنت يا ربنا. Rather, you are the grower. نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين. We have made it a reminder and an article of use for the travelers and all the others in the world. فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. Then glorify and declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free of all imperfection with praises the name of your Lord, the most great. So here you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges the creation concerning these signs. The drinks, the food, the fire which is needed to make the food. So every one of us is hungry except the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fed. Also the water, the food present. A person may not be able to reach it. Either maybe he refrained, restricted, or ill. or away from the place of vegetation or abundance of food. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same statement, فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِ أُطْعِمْكُمْ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِ أُطْعِمْكُمْ. So, seek food of me, and I shall feed you. And if you seek, you shall find. Ya ibadi, the next statement, kullukum aarin illa man kasawtuh, fastaksuni aksukum. Illa man kasawtuh, fastaksuni aksukum. O my servants, all of you are naked, except for those I have clothed. So seek clothing of me, and I shall clothe you. Naked. We came from the wombs of our mothers, naked. Now, except for those I have clothed. Whether this is from the action of the adult, he buys the clothes, or from the action of another, like the child, where the clothes is bought for him. And it is possible that this also could refer to the clothing by the deen. So it can cover two types of clothing, the tangible and the intangible. The next statement. يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل وبالنهار. إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. O my slaves, you sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness of me, and I shall forgive you. أنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا. I shield it and pardon you. Irregardless of how much they may be or how great they may be. But we need to ask forgiveness. فاستغفروني, so seek forgiveness of me. Like saying, اللهم اغفر لي. O Allah, forgive me. Or you say, أستغفرالله وأتوب إليه. I seek Allah's forgiveness and أتوب إليه, I repent to Him. Or doing that where, doing that which is an action leading to forgiveness. So if someone says, Subhanallah wa bihamdi mi'ata marra. If someone says Subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, ghufirat aw huttat khataya wa in kanat mithla zabad al-bahr. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when who says Subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, then his sins will be forgiven, even if they were as much as the foam of the sea. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and in Bukhari in its volume 8, Hadith 414. In the next statement, يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. O my slaves, you will not attain harming me, so as to harm me. And you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. So you will not be able to inflict harm on me nor benefit me. Because the one who inflicts harm and the one who bestows benefits is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the slaves cannot do that, because He is the all-sufficient, all-rich, free of all want, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the next statement, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَتْقَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْكُمْ مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْئًا. O my slaves, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to become as pious as the most pious heart of any one man of you, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. Allahu Akbar. If all creation, human and jinn, the first and the latter ones, would be as pious as the most pious heart of anyone, then that would not increase the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything, because His kingdom is vast, vast, encompassing everything, encompasses the wicked and the good. The wicked of His creation and the good of His creation. يا عبادي, the next statement, يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا. O my slaves, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as wicked as the most wicked heart of any one man of you, that would not decrease my kingdom in anything. That's because the wicked is an enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He does not give victory to Allah. Yet, this does not take from the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything, because Allah is the one free of all wants, the all rich. The next statement. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum qamu fi sa'idin wahidin fasa'aluni فأعطيت كل واحد مسألة ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. O my slaves, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to rise up in one place and make request of me, and were I to give everyone what he requested, that would not decrease what I have, any more than a needle decreases the sea if put into it. Allahu Akbar. So if all creation would stand up on a flat piece of land, this is because the more the congregation is, then this is closer to being answered. And this is an intensification of exaggeration, actually. Because everyone knows that if a person would put a needle in the sea, a large needle even, then takes it out, then this does not decrease the sea of anything. And it does not change it. This is like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 40. لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. Look at this. Contemplate this parable in this of Surah Al-A'raf. لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. Verily those who belie our signs proofs, evidences, revelation, and treat them with arrogance. For them, the gates of paradise will not be opened, and they will not enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of the needle. For them, the gates of heaven will not be opened, and they will not enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of the needle, which is what? Impossible. This is exaggerating the construct, because it is known that the camel could not go, impossible, go through the eye of the needle. This is a great intensification for the fact that they will never ever enter paradise. So similarly here, if all creation, the first and the latter, the human and the jinn, would come and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah would give any one of them his request, irrespective of the degree of his request, then this would not diminish what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he has. And also in the hadith, which is sahih, yadullahi mal'a sahha, the hands of Allah, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is filled, and sahha, most generous, day and night. أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنْفَقَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَغْدْ مَا فِي يَمِينِهِ. Do you see what he subhanahu wa ta'ala spent since he created the heavens and the earth? Yet all that has not decreased what is in his right hand, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next statement, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum. Uhsiha lakum. ثم أوفيكم إياها. O my servants, it is but your deeds that I reckon up for you and then recompense you for. So let him who finds good, ثم أوفيكم إياها. I precisely account all of your deeds, nothing is left except counted, then I shall recompense you in this life and in the hereafter. And it could be in this life alone, and it could be in the hereafter alone. It is in this life alone for the kafir, is recompensed for his deeds, his good deeds, but in this life, not in the hereafter. And as to the believer, the reward may be saved for him in the hereafter, and he may be also rewarded in this life and in the hereafter. قال الله تعالى in Surah Ash-Shura 42:20, من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. Whoever desires with his deeds the reward of the hereafter, we give him increase in his reward. And whosoever desires the reward of this world with his deeds, we give him thereof what is written for him, and he has no portion in the hereafter. And he Azza wa Jal said in Surah Al-Isra 17, Ayah 18, من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد. Whoever wishes for the quick passing, the transitory enjoyment of this world, we readily grant him what we will for whom we like. Then afterwards we have appointed for him hell. He will burn therein, disgraced and rejected. وقال عز وجل in Surah Al-Isra 17:19, the next one, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. And whoever desires the hereafter and strives for it with the necessary effort to do for it while he is a believer, then such are the ones whose striving shall be appreciated. So therefore the recompense could be in this life but not in the hereafter, the reward meaning. This is restricted in this case to the kafir. As to the believer, it could be in this life and the hereafter, in both, or in the hereafter alone. So, in the next statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. The next statement. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. So let him who finds good then praise Allah. Who finds good from his deeds, let him praise Allah on both. For the success which Allah had bestowed upon him to do the righteous deeds, as well as for the reward which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him for that. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself, because he was not unjustly treated. And blaming is when the person feels in his heart that this action is not fitting, and he may sometimes utter that. The benefits of this hadith. Number one, the narration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his Rabb, the narration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam from his Rabb, and this is the highest level of isnad of the narration types. And the narrations can be related to Allah, as in the Qudsi narrations, or to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is in the raised narrations, al-marfu'a, or from the companions, this is in the mawquf, the stopped, or from the tabi'een and those after them, and this is in the maqtu, the disconnected. These in general are the types of narrations. So if we relate a report from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, then we call it mawquf because he is sahabi. Then we say it is a stopped narration because he is a sahabi. And if we report a report from Mujahid rahimahullah, then we call it maqtu', literally disconnected, because he is a tabi'i, a successor to the companions. The narration does not proceed to the companion level. Second benefit, the best regarding the saying, the best regarding the position towards the Hadith al-Qudsi is that we say that it is ما رواه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربي عز وجل. It is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم related from his Lord. And we stop and we don't indulge in whether it is the saying of Allah, word and meaning, or it is the word of the Prophet and the meaning from Allah, because this could be excessiveness and we are called not to indulge in excessiveness. The third benefit, affirming the saying to Allah Azza wa Jal, affirming the saying, al-qawl lillah Azza wa Jal, and this is replete in the Quran. And this is evidence for the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, that kalamullahi yakunu bisawt, that the speech of Allah is with a voice, because the saying is referred to that which is heard. So if someone says, but doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state in Surah Al-Mujadila verse 8, 58 verse 8, وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. So this is a وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and when they come to you, they greet you with a greeting wherewith Allah greets you not, and say within themselves, they say within themselves, why should Allah punish us not for what we say? Why should Allah punish us not for what we say? So this is a saying which they say within themselves. So what's the response to this? We say, indeed. However, this saying is restricted because it says, وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and say within themselves. But when the saying is general, then this refers to what is heard. When the saying is mutlaq, utliq, generalized, then this refers to what is heard. Fourth benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to oppress, but He forbade that for Himself because of His perfect justice. Because of His perfect justice. Because had He been unable, He would not have praised Himself that He forbade oppression for Himself. The fifth benefit is that from the attributes of Allah are those which are negated, like injustice, oppression. But one should know, أَنَّهُ لَا يُوجَدُ فِي صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ نَفْيٌ إِلَّا لِثُبُوتِ ضِدِّهِ. إلا لثبوت ضده. There is no negation except with the affirmation of the opposite. So, negating injustice and oppression affirms perfect justice. Affirms perfect justice. So you affirm the opposite with perfection. Sixth benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids upon himself or for himself whatever he wills, because the decree is his. So we cannot forbid something upon Allah. However, he does for himself whatever he wishes to forbid for himself. And he makes obligated upon himself whatever he wishes. اقرأ قول الله تعالى. Recite the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am 6:12. قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض قل لله كتب على نفسه الرحمة. الحمد لله. كتب على نفسه الرحمة. Say, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth? Say to Allah, He has prescribed mercy for Himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written with Him, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. My mercy precedes my anger. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. So whatever Allah obligates upon himself and forbade for himself, then this is true, because he decrees whatever he wishes. But for us to go and make that binding upon Allah, saying such and such, we obligate upon Allah such and such, and we forbid upon Allah such and such by our intellect, then this is wrong. As Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said in his poem An-Nuniyya, the famous poem of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, مَا لِلْعِبَادِ عَلَيْهِ حَقٌ وَاجِبُ هو أوجب الأجر العظيم الشاني كلا ولا عمل لديه ضائع إن كان بالإخلاص والإحسان. The servants, the slaves, have no right upon obligating anything upon Allah. He is the one who obligated the reward, the great rewards. كلا ولا عمل لديه ضائع. Nothing is lost with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the deeds. He accounts for all of them. إن كان بالإخلاص والإحسان, he rewards it if it is based upon إخلاص, sincerity and إحسان, meaning following the Sharia. The seventh benefit, referring to the essence of Allah as that, referring to it as النفس, على نفسي, referring to the essence of Allah, referring to it as an-nafs, an-nafs, meaning himself, his self. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Imran 3:28, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. And the nafs is not an attribute like the other attributes. يحذركم الله نفسه. And Allah warns you against Himself. And the nafs is not an attribute like the rest of the attributes, like the hearing, the knowledge, the ability. And nafs means the that, means the essence. And using the term an-nafs is more correct than using the term الذات. So the original in Arabic is النفس. The eighth benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade oppression upon himself or for himself, and he made it also forbidden between us. This covers one's injustice upon himself and also oppressing others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud 11:101, وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. The issue of injustice or oppression centers upon defect, centers upon a naqs, defect. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Kahf 18:33, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. تَظْلِمْ, كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا. سورة الكهف verse 33. Each of those two gardens brought forth its produce and وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ ظُلْمْ, you see, تَظْلِمْ, and failed not in the least therein. And it is centered, as we said, upon the defect, either by withholding what is dutiful to others, or burdening others with that which is not due upon them. So either by withholding what is dutiful to others. Example: you owe something to a person and you don't fulfill, you don't pay him back, or you defer it. This is ظلم, because the Prophet ﷺ said مطلو الغني ظلم, the delay of payment of what is dutiful upon the rich is ظلم, is injustice. And the example of the second, burdening others with that which is not due upon them, for example, you claim that he owes you something, and then you bring a testimony false, and a ruling is made for you. This is injustice. So, if someone says, In this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade that we oppress others or transgress against others and treat others with injustice. Is there an exception to that? Is there an exception where there are cases where one can do that? The answer, there is no exception. Now, if one says, but is it permissible for us to take the properties of the warring kafirs or the warriors from the kuffars, from the kafirs, isn't it permissible? The answer is certainly, but this is not zulm, this is not transgression, because this had been made permissible for us. Now, if someone also says, is it permissible for us to take the properties of those whom we have covenant with? The answer is not permissible. Nor their blood is permissible. Even the Prophet ﷺ, in a severe warning, said, مَنْ قَتَلَ مُعَاهَدًا لَمْ يَرِحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَةِ. Whoever kills someone with whom we have a covenant will not find the fragrance of paradise, will not smell it. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. And from this we know the transgression and the injustice, and also the dalal, misguidance of those deceived ones who transgress and take unjustly the properties of the kafirs with whom we have covenant, whether this kafir is lives with us in our countries under a covenant, or whether you live in his country. Because we hear that some of the youth who live in the kafir lands say it is okay to destroy the properties of these kafirs. So you see them doing certain acts, for example breaking street lights or breaking into shops or try to ruin some cars and the like. And this is haram alayhim. This is forbidden upon them. Those kafirs are people who took you in and you are under their covenant. They are not under your covenant. And so you betray. This is from the most evil of acts that distorts Islam. In fact, but however, this is not really a distortion of Islam in reality, but these, it's really for those who attribute themselves to Islam. But the conclusion is going to be made upon Islam, as we see it. What we must know is that the properties of those with whom we have covenants is respected, or are respected, whether they are in our lands or whether we live in their lands. And therefore, فَلَا يَحِلُّ الْاِعْتِدَاءُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِأَنَّهُ ظُلْمٌ. So it is forbidden to transgress against them because this is ظُلْم, injustice. The ninth benefit. Man is astray, except for those whom Allah guides. And under this, there is a sub-benefit. Under this, there is a sub-benefit. This benefit is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously, so that we don't go into misguidance. But if someone asks now, this is problematic. Since we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that every child is born on fitrah, and in this hadith it says kullukum dal, all of you are astray. So how to reconcile this? The answer is that yes, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said every child is born upon fitrah, but he said أَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. His parents make him a Christian, a Jew, or a Christian, or a Magian. And in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the legally responsible ones. Those whose fitrah may have changed and took from their fathers. So this is dalal, this is astray, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wishes. So we should seek guidance therefore from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously. The 10th benefit, the incitement to seek knowledge. The incitement to seek knowledge. Because kullukum dal, all of you are astray. And certainly seeking knowledge is of the best deeds. Rather, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said العلم لا يعدله شيء لمن صحت نيته. There is nothing equivalent to seeking knowledge for the one whose niyya is correct. Especially in these times where we have a great deal of ignorance and people making fatwa while they are not fit for that. طلب العلم في هذا الزمان, therefore seeking knowledge in these times is an asserted matter. The 11th benefit, one should seek guidance only from Allah, because in this hadith, فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ, seek guidance from me and I shall guide you. And the guidance are of two types. The guidance is of two types. Hidayatul Tawfiq, the guidance for success. And this cannot be asked except from Allah. No one can give this except Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is the other, which is Hidayatul Dalala, the guidance of directing. And it is permissible, it is correct that you may seek that from other than Allah, from those who have knowledge. For example, to say, oh such and such, give me fatwa regarding such and such, meaning tell me to the truth concerning such and such. So فَاسْتَهْدُونِ here encompasses both types of guidance. Why? Because it covers that which only Allah can offer, and it also covers that by following the means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set them as a cause to seek knowledge, as means to seek knowledge. The 12th point of benefit. In principle, the slaves are hungry because they are unable to create that which brings life to their bodies, as in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which we explained earlier. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي أُطْعِمْكُمْ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي أُطْعِمْكُمْ. So ask me to feed you and I shall feed you. So therefore don't seek sustenance except from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the term فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي comprises asking Allah the food, also comprises putting the means to attain the sustenance and attain the favor of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Jumu'ah verse 10, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Then when the salah is finished, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah much that you may be successful. وقال تعالى هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. He it is who has made the earth subservient to you, that is easy for you to walk, to live, and to do agriculture on it, and so forth. So walk in the path thereof, and eat of his provision, and to him will be the resurrection. This is in Surah Al-Mulk 67 verse 15. Otherwise, we know that the heaven does not rain gold, nor silver, nor bread. It's inevitable that one should exert the efforts and take by the means. We'll repeat this because there is a disconnection. Waiting to get back to the room then. Let's continue then. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, استطعموني, ask food from me, comprises asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food, and also comprises taking by the means to attain sustenance and seeking the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is stated in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Then when the salah is finished, you may disperse it through the land and seek the bounty of Allah by working, and remember Allah much that you may be successful. Also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Mulk in 67:15. قال الله تعالى هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. He it is who has made the earth subservient to you, easy for you to walk, to live, to do agriculture. So walk in the path thereof and eat of his provision, and to him will be the resurrection. Otherwise we know that the heavens does not rain gold nor silver or bread, and that it's inevitable to put the effort and seek the sustenance. The 14th benefit is that in principle man is naked until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clothes him. And in principle the nakedness is physical, but also it's possible to mean the intangible, because man came from the womb of his mother naked, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who clothed him in that which he had ordained from the means. The 15th benefit, the generosity and favor of Allah upon his slaves in explaining to them their conditions and their need of him. And then he asks them to ask him, so that he removes from them what could be from poverty and need situations. the 16th point of benefit. Bani Adam Khatta, the children of Adam are sinful, meaning they commit sins. They commit sins, they do sins. They err. They do a lot of sins. And we shouldn't actually, when we say they are sinful, better to say they do sins. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab, in chapter 33, verse 72, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Truly we did offer the amana, the trust, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they declined to bear it and were afraid of it, that man bore it. Verily he was unjust to himself and ignorant. And that the 17th point of benefit, irregardless of the extent of sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. But istighfar is needed. Asking Allah for forgiveness is needed. And that's why he subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. And the way to ask the istighfar is to say it by words, in a statement, saying Allahumma اغفر لي, or Allah forgive me. Or you say astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah means I seek refuge from Allah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for forgiveness. I seek His forgiveness. The second is seeking forgiveness by means of righteous deeds. Like the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdihi in the day 100 times, then his sins will be forgiven, even if they were the equivalent of the form of sea, as much as that. And the 18th, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins for the one who asks forgiveness, because he said فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي. And as for the one who may not ask forgiveness, then the minor sins may be expiated by righteous deeds, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith reported by Muslim, الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن مجتنب الكبائر. The five obligatory prayers and the Jum'ah to the Jum'ah to the next one and Ramadan to the next one are expiators for that which may take place between them, as long as the major sins are avoided. As long as the major sins are avoided. And as to the major sins, it's a must that they require a special tawbah. A special tawbah, asking Allah's repentance. They are not expiated by righteous deeds. And as to the kufr, to disbelief, فَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَوْبَةٍ بِالْإِجْمَعِ. By consensus, it requires tawbah. So therefore, sins are three categories. First category, it's a must to have tawbah. This is by consensus referring to kufr. This is in regard to kufr, to disbelief, and this requires tawbah. The second category, the sins, the minor sins, which are expiated by righteous deeds. Minor sins which are expiated by righteous deeds. Third category, that which is inevitable to ask for tawbah in accordance with the opinion of the majority of the scholars. This refers to al-kaba'ir, to the major sins. According to the majority of the scholars, it's a must to request tawbah. And there is difference of opinion concerning the last one here. But the majority of the scholars are with the opinion that the major sins require tawbah. The 19th point of benefit, the perfect authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his free of want. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith, which is related to him by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا ضَرِّي وَلَن تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي. He will not attain harming me nor benefiting me, because of his perfect authority, عَزَّ وَجَلْ, most mighty and most magnificent is he, and because of his free of wants. It is as if he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, إِنَّمَا طَلَبْتُ مِنْكُمُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, I requested that you ask forgiveness from sins, لَا لِحَاجَتِي لِذَلِكَ, it is not because I am in need of that, وَلَا لِتَضَرُّرِي بِمَعَاصِيكُمْ, and because I am not influenced by your sins, وَلَكِنَّ الْمَصْلَحَةَ لَكُمْ, however, the benefit is yours. The 20th point of benefit, the place of taqwa and wickedness is the heart. The heart is the place of taqwa and wickedness. Because in this narration earlier, على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم, upon the most pious heart of a man of you, and on the most wicked, mentioned earlier, and this is attested to by the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى, in the body there is a مُضْغَى, piece of flesh, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, if it is correct and sound, then the whole body will be correct and sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, and if it is corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt, and that is the heart. And therefore, this incites us that we should take care of our hearts. وَنَنْظُرْ أَيْنَ ذَهَبْ, where it's going, so that we purify it. And the 21st point of benefit, the perfect richness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his vastness. This is deducted from his saying, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, if it were your first and your latter ones, your jinn and your mankind, were to stand and rise up on one place and ask for me. This indicates his vast richness subhanahu wa ta'ala and his vast generosity. The 22nd point of benefit, it makes clear that the gathering of people in one place is closer in terms of answering their request than being dispersed, and that's why they are called to have the congregational prayers in one mosque, in Jum'ah for example, and in the Musalla al-Eid, and in Istisqa, when asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain, and in Arafat, because this is closer for attaining the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 23rd point of benefit, جواز المبالغة بالقول, the permissibility to exaggerate in saying sometimes because of the benefit which may be entailed. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, إلا كما ينقص مخيط إذا أدخل البحر, it is as if it would be like the decrease which would occur to the sea if a needle is immersed in it and taken out. And actually, there is nothing will diminish from the sea. And also, like the statement in the Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 40, until the camel enters the hole of the needle. 24th point of benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts the deeds of his creation, of his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Zalzala 7 and 8, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And this is by way of exaggerating so whoever does good equal to the weight of a small ant shall see it, and whoever does evil equal to the weight of a small ant shall see it. This is by way of exaggeration. So if he does something lesser than the weight of an ant, then he will find it. But because the ant is of the smallest creatures, which the Arabs used to set as a parable in terms of minuteness, so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it here. The 25th point of benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not inflict injustice or treat anyone with injustice, because he said ثم أوفيكم or أوفيكم إياها, then I will give you full recompense. You will miss nothing from reward or from just punishment if inflicted. The 26th of benefit, 26th, is the obligation to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him when the one sees good of His righteous, good, doing good, meaning. Because first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that easy for him to do the good, and that Allah rewards him for that. The 27th point of benefit, permissibility of the person to refer to himself by way of third person. By way of third person. Because he said, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهُ. Whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah. He didn't say, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمِدْنِي. Whoever finds good, let him praise me. And this is by way of magnification. What's indicated here is magnification. What is intended is magnification. Just to give an example, when the king commands something, he says, يقول لكم الملك فعلوا كذا وكذا. The king says, do this and this. This is more profound than saying, أقول لكم, I say to you, do this and this. And the one who does not do righteous deeds and does not find the good, then he should blame himself. Then he should blame himself. Now, if someone says, how could the blame be upon me and this is not ordained upon me? Or to put it another way, can he say, why the blame on me when Allah ordained it on me? The answer is, when you have done this disobedient act, or when you have left the wajib, the obligation, you abandoned the wajib, you did not know that this was ordained. So the sinner proceeds to do the sin, and he doesn't know that it is written upon him until he does it. Because when he does it, then it took place. And when it took place, Allah willed it to take place. So he comes to know now that it is written. But before that, he doesn't know. Similarly, the one who abandons the wajib, the obligation, he doesn't know that it is written upon him to abandon this wajib until he abandons it. Otherwise, he doesn't know. So therefore, the blame is upon you. The messengers proclaimed and conveyed, and the Quran is a proof. And despite all of that, and nevertheless, you abandoned all of this. So the blame is upon you. So don't blame it on the pre-decree when you don't know the pre-decree. Why don't you say the opposite? It's pre-decreed upon me to do good, therefore I should go and do good. This brings the end of the discussion on this great hadith. And this hadith also had been thoroughly and in depth, was discussed thoroughly and in depth by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and there is a published book now with the full discussion on this hadith by Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, and it is within his fatawa. It is also available within his fatawa rahimahullah and his collection of fatawa. والله تعالى الموفق وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك ربي وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you, and I ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and have mercy upon our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala for the efforts he had done to explain and make accessible the great benefits of ilm. رحمه الله رحمة واسعة.